This is Developing a Heart of Missions in Children with the use of BGMC, and I'm Terry Williams, Children's Missionary. And so we're just going to have a real informal discussion. So we'll just kind of go with your questions.
Our children and our youth, they've not been exposed to missions other than, you know, the few times when we've had missionaries that come in whose heart is for children's ministries to go. So it was like, you know, how do you get them involved? Because I know that there are programs that they used to have for collecting funds and things like that. But we were more interested in how do we get them prepared to do, like, a West Virginia trip to help Gerald Mahan or something like that.
Oh, Gerald, I love Gerald.
Yes,
when I was ministering in a full-time position with children's ministry, I was in Alexandria at First Assembly, which is his home church. And so got to know Gerald and Phyllis, gosh, I couldn't pull out Phyllis's name right there. And then, but really got to work with them. And I know that they do, you know, the homeless ministry down in D.C. They're getting ready to do that. And, you know, they do, you know, different trips, you know, do a lot of revivals. So they've got certainly a dynamic personality. And if you go with them, you know, they pretty much take care of the logistics of the trip. And I have been doing several missions trips, taking kids on missions trips. And Vermel, I know she knows that I'm doing that, and she's on my list of people to make sure that they know when my dates are coming up for kids, and I'm trying to nail some of that down now. And there might be another contact that I need to add on to your church to make sure that people know. But as far as, I mean, you guys have a heart and you have a passion for doing missions trips. You realize the importance of taking your youth and your kids on missions trips, and you know what an impact they can make on these trips. So, I mean, that's kind of a moot point, you know, and kind of having this little discussion, because I don't have to convince you that kids and teens need to go on a missions trip. So you're needing to know more of the how-tos.
Well, that and, you know, like, just how do you prepare children for doing a trip?
Because you can't just, I would not take any kid on a missions trip. I personally, when I pull a team together, I'm pulling 10 to 15-year-olds because I'm focusing it on a children's ministries mission trip.
Okay,
so I know we're going to minister to kids. And so, you know, I can't get, the younger kids just aren't quite there. You know, a lot of them haven't even broken the apron strings from mom. So I, you know, and beyond 15, they are teenagers, you know. And that is not my area that I'm wanting to focus on because youth, there, I mean, most youth groups take their youth on missions trips. So I wanted to be able to expose our kids to missions trips prior to them becoming a youth so that they could just naturally flow right into, you know, those trips once they hit in the youth group. As far as, you know, preparing these kids for missions, I think you have to really help instill in them a compassion for those people that are in need. You know, there's needs all around the world. You could pick any continent, any country, and know there's a need there. So it's not even necessarily, gosh, where do we go? Just go like this, and you found a location. With kids, I don't take them out of the United States. Under the age of 15, I don't take them.
And
too much responsibility. You know, when you're taking kids away from their parents, and you know you're dealing with them overseas, and you're unsure of you know the health concerns, and it's just I just don't under the age of 15 take kids out of the U.S. But I'm a U.S. missionary, so my heart is the U.S. And there's so many kids here. Gosh, I was watching TV the other day, and just all of the feeding initiatives, you know, Channel 9 was trying to stock a food pantry that was completely empty in the D.C. area. And so they were, you know, they were doing a food drive. And they were telling about how many millions of people, you know, and thousands of people that they feed every day out of this, you know, this shelter and, you know, and help. And how many was it? Did they say like one in six children will go hungry every day? in the D.C. area. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, just the need there. So, you know, there's a lot of need there. In preparing kids for missions, I think you need to bring about just an awareness, both locally and worldwide. I think they need to hear those reports about kids that are going hungry in their school systems. You know, they probably don't hear about any kids going hungry. You know, they probably look at the at kids that, you know, are like, I'm hungry, and just like, well, I don't know why you're hungry, and they don't understand.
Yeah.
But those kids are legitimately in a classroom and can't focus because they're hungry. You know, I think sometimes with kids, they're so open to understanding other people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be more open to people's needs than adults are.
Okay.
Because everything to them is impacting. I mean, look, when a pet dies, you know, they are just like traumatized, you know. I mean, it's just like they feel compassion and they feel, you know, such love. I mean, everything about them is pure. As adults, we start putting up walls, and we start, you know, protecting ourselves against the outside world. And where kids haven't done that yet, so making them fully aware of their surroundings and what's going on is certainly the beginning parts of getting them prepared for a missions trip. I know you guys use, or when I was visiting the last time, the BGMC curriculum. They have a missions curriculum that BGMC stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge.
Okay.
And it is not only a giving ministry, but it's also an educational ministry to help teach kids about missions.
Okay.
And they, the national office puts out a curriculum every year, which they're getting ready to release. And you should have received that in the mail, or someone should have received that through the church, that it would get channeled to you. But they come on CD, or you can request written form of it, and they cover different countries each year. And
is this like children's church?
Yes, this is children's church.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you could use it virtually anytime, but it's more for you could use it virtually anytime in your week programs. I'm trying to turn this off.
So it's just curious because the way we're set up, like there's children's church, and I think Pastor Paul does that. And then we have a youth ministry that's got that like teenage, like 13 and up. And then we've got, of course, the Royal Rangers and Missionettes. And so I'm just trying to figure out who the contact at the church would be at this realm. It's probably going to be Pastor Paul.
Okay.
So I can check
with him. And I would check with him. You know, feel free to take, these are all extras that I have, but these are the past 3 years.
Okay.
But you can check with him and say, Pastor Paul, have you been getting these? There's 52 lessons on here. So, no, not 52. There's 12 lessons on here, and there's a different country covered each month.
Okay.
So most people do a mission service in children's church once a month.
Okay.
And how they structure that is completely up to the church, but this is just another resource that you can tap into that will highlight a country. And they talk about the game. They talk about the statistics. They talk about a food. You know, they give you a recipe. They have a skit in there. They have a drama. That all is in this curriculum, that you don't have to create anything. It has PowerPoints already in it. It has a real-life story about a missionary in that country with coloring pages. I think it has a take-home page that kids can take home to reinforce what they learned in children's church. So this is a resource for them in children's ministries that Pastor Paul could tap into. Now, BGMC, because it's geared toward the kids, we, of course, emphasize as a giving, the giving part of it, to give to BGMC. BGMC funds then are used for missionaries around the world, both U.S. and world missionaries. And a missionary will put in a request with BGMC for funding that they may need for a specific item. BGMC has bought kitchen supplies. They've bought Sunday school materials. Okay. They've bought a yak. They've bought, you know, bars for on windows to secure a building.
Okay.
They've bought copiers and computers. They've bought, I mean, they just, it's a huge range of items that a missionary can then tap into and say, we need funds for this, but we don't have it in our regular budget.
Mm-hmm.
So BGMC then can funnel that to them. Plus, the great thing about BGMC is they have undesignated funds, which most of the money that comes in from kids are undesignated. And so it goes into this undesignated pot. Well, there's a lot of missionaries in very sensitive countries that can't mention that they are missionaries.
Right.
They can't promote that they're missionaries. And so the funding for them is even harder to come by because it can't get out that they're in that country as a missionary. They're in there as a teacher. They're in there as relief, you know, disaster relief or for some other purpose. But then their ultimate goal is to share the gospel. So BGMC can issue them funds from this undesignated fund without anybody knowing that they're missionaries.
See, now that's something that I find very interesting because there was a missionary that came to our church that was from one of the sensitive areas, and I used to be able to give to her online. I can't find her online anymore. So I'm assuming that's probably the country's gotten even more closed because I think
yeah.
it's like the Ukraine or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, okay.
So, you know, if they are aware of BGMC, if the missionaries, and most of them are, they're told about it when they go through missionary school, and they're, of course, you know, continually told that they can tap into these funds, they can get funds, which BGMC has provided through their kids. You know, kids have given millions of dollars to BGMC for the use of missionaries around the world. So we use BGMC as a tool for the kids as an avenue to give and also as a way to teach them about missions. Those are really important things. When you're talking about the youth, now I don't know as much about this, but I know that the youth have a ministry that they can use, Speed the Light.
Yes, Speed the Light.
Yeah, and Speed the Light provides vehicles for missionaries both here in U.S. as well as overseas. Now, as far as whether they provide any type of curriculum, I've never heard of them doing that. I'm assuming that's probably more of the youth pastors, you know, pulls together, you know. Youth is just totally different from kids. Kids are so visual.
Okay.
Kids are so, you know, tangible. Not that when you get older that you should throw those types of learning styles away, but we oftentimes do.
Mm-hmm.
So Speed the Light is certainly a viable option for the teenagers for a giving program.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also Light for the Lost. Light for the Lost, I know that they teach about Light for the Lost with the children, because that's part of the Ranger curriculum.
Okay.
And I think it's part of the Girls Ministries curriculum that one of their badges or one of their...
I think I remember reading.
Yeah. That, you know, I know the Rangers are part of their merit is to attend a Light for the Lost banquet. And those banquets come around to each of the sections, I think toward the fall, and they have a tour that they go from location to location, and then they promote it through the district so that you can actually attend a Light for the Lost banquet. And what they do there is they generally have a speaker, a missionary that's talking about their particular area. Then they have projects that they are asking churches to pick up for the year. And they'll post all these posters of all these different needs around the world, different countries, different locations. And then a church that night would choose which one they want to raise the funds for. And oftentimes Royal Rangers take their Ranger their older Rangers there to be part of that because it's part of their merit.
Okay.
Then they choose a project, a missions project, that they're going to raise money for the rest of the year.
Okay.
So I know that's how you can, you know, tie it in with Rangers. And I'm pretty, I didn't go through girls' ministries as a kid. So I know there is one. I just am not familiar with what the requirements are for that that advancement. So those are all great tools. You know, beyond that, I think we just need to, you know, in mission services, you know, we need to give kids opportunity to see the need and to experience the need. With kids, you know, is the thing, I took my kids to a soup kitchen down in D.C. when I was down there. Greatest thing I ever did for these kids. And what we did is we brought them in on a Saturday morning, the kids that were going to be participating in this, and we made up.
You were doing like 10 to 15?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, the smaller kids on this one, when it's a local one like that, that it's only a one-day event, I'll take the smaller kids. But with the smaller kids, I almost am like, parents need to come along. And I think that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck. You get the whole family involved. But I brought them in on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, and we, brought them in on a Saturday morning, so they had had breakfast, and then we went out and we did, we served bag lunches to the homeless out in the parks, and then we went and we served a meal in the evening to the adults. Then we came back to the church and I issued them their food for the weekend. And it was a little loaf of, or a little roll. It was a handful of rice. There was a vitamin in there. I kind of patterned it off of one of the other missionaries do overseas with their kids. So it was a hand of rice, it was a roll, it was a vitamin and a little juice box. And that was all they got for 24 hours. And so they were sent home with this, you know, food, and that's what they were to fix for their dinner. So we went to the park, and then we served lunch, and then we came back, and they got their meal for the evening. Then the families went home, and that's what they ate that evening. That's all they got. And then they got up the next morning. They weren't supposed to have breakfast, and then they came to the church. Well, they came to church, and we did a mission service. They were hungry. They had experienced hunger. And so then we got to talk about how many kids around the world don't have even that much sometimes in a 24-hour period. Or kids will say, eat the rice but save the roll for the next day so that they have something. And, you know, shared with them, you know, how do you feel today? Because unless they experience it, unless they feel it themselves, they don't necessarily grasp the concept. So to do tangible things, especially, I mean, you can do that with teens too. You know, can you imagine a teen? You want me to what? That's all I get for the next 24 hours. Yep, that's all you get. And when you have families involved and all the families have their handful of rice, you know, it really makes a statement in the home as far as, my goodness, aren't we so fortunate that these kids don't know from meal to meal whether they're going to have anything. And we've got stocked cupboards and freezers and, you know, we can walk over any time and get something to eat. So, you know, I think preparing them that way is huge, you know, letting them experience it. So ask me any more questions that you're thinking, okay.
Well, I was just figuring... for me, and I think it's just because it's me, I don't know a lot of the venues in the area. And so how do you make those connections? Do you go through social services? Do you find families that you know?
You know, I'll contact Gerald first.
Okay.
Because he has, like, all the connections in the D.C. area.
Oh, okay.
Then once he gives me a contact, I will call. And generally, they're just like, oh, my goodness, yes, you know, we need, you know, help on this weekend, this weekend. You know, you could go through social services, but I know there are so many organizations out there, some that are Christian-based, some that are not.
Right.
Not that they're not all good,
right.
But sometimes you get, you just get a different feel depending on, you know, you just do.
I don't mind calling Gerald because I know them through the mission stuff when they come to our church. So, in fact, I think that was where I met you the last time. You were at our church, and I was telling you I was getting ready to go on a missions trip with Gerald. And I did mention that to him. I guess
And Connie Bars, you knew Connie,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And because I think that's our problem. Sometimes we look for venues, but then we want to put kind of parameters. Well, if anybody else is helping them, we don't need to help them. But with the children, like, we're in Capitol Heights.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's that much different from D.C. And there's got to be venues right there locally,
yeah,
that we could.
And I think there would be, and probably, you know, contacting social services would not be a bad thing.
Mm.
You know, and just to find out what, you know, even going online.
Okay.
You know, and searching for, you know, areas, you know, food kitchens or food pantries in that particular area.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, yes, it's great to be able to support a Christian organization, but those other organizations still need support, too. And it's not, you know, you're not saying we're only going to support Christians.
Right.
We need to support people that are in need.
Yeah.
And so you teach a different message to kids depending on, you know, your choice of things to do. Mm-hmm. And we want the church to be outside of those walls.
Right.
And, you know, if that means supporting, you know, an organization that's not Christian-based, who's to say what an impact you're going to have on that organization?
Okay.
So I wouldn't neglect any of those. You know, just as long as you know that the efforts that you're putting in are going back into, you know, the homeless and the needy and so forth. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just have to kind of search online, get, you know, some suggestions. You know, and I've even made phone calls where they're like, well, there's another, you know, another food pantry that could use your help as well. You know, right now we're okay, and they may refer you somewhere else.
Okay. You said Vermeil was your point of contact
yes.
in our church?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll talk to her because even though our church is kind of small in comparison with some of the larger churches like this one, we have a lot of compartments, you know?
Yeah.
So Vermeil's over the Boys Academy.
Uh-huh.
And she used to be, I think, over all of the children's ministry, but right now I think that's Pastor Paul, so yeah, keep me on. But she's got the academy, and I think that right now is her focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I need to go back, because what happens is, you know, you have these ideas, and because it's missions related, it's brought to the missions team. But there are other ministry heads that, you know, may already have things in place.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm, you know, okay, if we should be getting this, then maybe they're already doing this. Because I know one time they were doing children's church, because I had been on, I think, one trip when I came back from Belize. They asked me to come and, you know, do a little thing with the children. So I had the little clips from the service that we had with the kids and stuff, because we did Vacation Bible School, and, you know, talked about, you know, Belize and
mm-hmm.
the temperature. The kids were really excited.
Yeah.
I was surprised, because they had a lot of really good questions and stuff. So that would probably be a point for me to go back and actually, I'm not really the missions head. I'm supposed to be assisting, but anyway, I get called last night. Are you going to? I said, yes, I have one on my, I'm doing one tomorrow. And so, and like I said, I was looking at the description, and I'm going, well, why am I here, man? But this is really, it's something that's been on my heart, too, since my last trip, is that it's good to go out, but there are things locally mm-hmm. here that we could do. So, you say you do trips with kids?
Yeah, I've started pulling together trips that I can take kids on.
Okay.
And it's all within the United States. My teams are generally half kids, half adults.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes there's parents and kids. Sometimes there's kids with no parents.
Okay.
So it's a combination. Some families make it a family trip.
Okay.
And they take all their kids.
Okay.
We had a family that just went to Arizona with us last year.
Okay.
And they had three girls, and the youngest was 8. And they're like, she's not in the age bracket. The other two fell in the age bracket. And I was like, okay, let's have a discussion with the parents and let them know that if she's coming, she needs to be at a maturity level that she can handle this, that she can be on her own and away from her parents if need be, you know, if we're doing different things,
right.
And that she's not going to require all of their attention because they have things that they need to do. So we ended up taking an 8-year-old on the trip, and she did well. But because there was so little age difference between who we were ministering to and her, you know, she was more or less playing with the kids. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, we had kids, you know, 15, 16-year-olds at our sports camp. And, you know, we had younger team members. Mm-hmm. But it still worked. So when I structure my trips as a U.S. missionary to children, I structure that when we go into a location, we are focusing on the children's ministry's needs.
Right.
Because every location that you want to go to, there are needs. And there's always painting in the main church. There's always this in the main church. There's, you know, this for the adults. But it's like, and nobody ever, ever focuses on the children. And so we go in and we, with no false pretense, I mean, we tell them up front, we need to be focusing on the children's ministries when we get there. We had gone and we renovated a building that they held children's ministries in, and we painted and we tore out a leaky sink and put in a new sink and new cabinets and replaced a toilet and, you know, organized their resource room. They had all these resources that they had accumulated, but just in boxes piled on top of each other. And just, it's like, how would you ever find anything?
Right, right.
So we put up shelving and clear tubs and labeled things and sorted through things and had everything all organized. It was amazing. When we got done, we showed, of course, the children's leader that was in place at that time. And she came in. We put up a puppet stage. We mounted the projection unit in the wall, put her a screen that could be pulled down, made a puppet rack so all of her puppets were right there behind the puppet stage.
Wow.
And when she came in, she was just like, she was stunned to begin with. And we were like, well, boy, she doesn't seem very happy. But as she walked through, the tears just streamed down her face because she was just like, no one has ever focused on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she says, now we have a place where I want kids to be and to come. It was clean. It was fresh. It was, you know, we put up window treatments and, you know, and so we did that as our hands-on project. That way our kids could help. They could scrub floors. They could paint. They could, you know, help with the murals. I mean, we did murals on some of the walls. They could pull weeds and pick up trash.
Mm.
And so we made sure that there's things within that project that they can do. Then in the morning we did sports camp. And we went out and distributed flyers throughout the area. And we had gone on to a reservation, so there was a lot of poverty, a lot of alcohol, a lot of drugs. You know, and the kids saw this as we were distributing flyers. And then we held the sports camp in the morning for 3 hours. And we gave the kids snacks while we were there. And the kids were just so excited to get something to eat,
mm-hmm.
you know, mid-morning like
mm-hmm.
that. And the kids all participated in helping to run the sports camp for the kids that came. So we did that in the morning. Then we did our hands-on project midday. And then in the evening, we went back out into the communities and found the local playground
mm-hmm.
in that community. And we did street ministry in, you know, those communities and went around and invited the kids. And so we did balloons and we did object lessons and we had music going and, you know, your typical street ministry type things.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they got to minister in the streets.
Okay.
And we ate there at the reservation. We actually had some local ladies on the reservation prepared our meals. So we got some authentic, you know, Indian food,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool,
mm-hmm.
But traditional
right.
stuff too.
Yeah.
And so those are trips that I have been planning more and more. And as I've been talking to the national office, BGMC, they're like, there is no other missionary doing that.
Right.
And so I'm planning 3 for this upcoming year that I'm opening up to anybody that wants to go.
Okay.
And because I'm in Potomac District, that's my home district, I could go anywhere in the, you know, I can advertise this throughout the United States, but most of my people are coming from the Potomac District, which is a great advantage for
right,
you guys.
Right, right.
And so that's certainly something that I can make available to
okay.
you and your team. And, you know, I do have an application process. Just because they fall in that age bracket doesn't
right.
mean a kid gets to go.
Right.
And it's not always, you know, I want to know that they are at a place that they're ready to move another step forward in their walk with Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for, somebody that's either not a believer and just coming to church, or they're a brand new believer and their parents aren't supportive, you know. And so it's very difficult to take a kid in those circumstances. But if that kid is spiritually at a place where they're like, they're solid, and I'm getting recommendations from, you know, the leaders in that church saying they are ready, I will take that kid, even if they're coming from a home that, you know, may not be believers.
Okay.
But again, it's an application process.
It wouldn't even have to be one or two. I mean, you would take one or two if they, you know, follow the application process.
Yep.
How large are your groups usually?
Usually about 20, 25. Okay. Are the size of my groups. And like I said, I have about half and half kids to adults, which is a great ratio for kids. And, you know, plus you get the skill set of those parents and you get the enthusiasm from the kids that, you know, with the kids really help a lot with the sports camp. Although my adults usually lead, my kids have the energy. And they certainly have the enthusiasm. And I have not taken a group yet where I've had any kids that are like, I don't want to do this. I have worked to those kids from sun up to sundown, and they have not gotten breaks. They've gone from sports camp, they've gone breakfast, sports camp, lunch, middle of the day working, to dinner, to the outreach, to bed. And I, there are sometimes during the middle of the day, during our project time, if we have too many hands for what we need, I will make nap time for adults and kids. And I will schedule, this is the time, you guys are, this is your quiet time. You have to, you know, and I really enforce that. So I, you know, I'm very conscious of kids and their energy level and how they can crash at any moment.
Right.
But at the same token, you know, when they come, they're expected to work. You know, this is not a vacation in that we're going to cater to your every need.
I'm sorry, my mind is whirling because I'm trying to, because I would really liked to commit to being involved in something like that, but I don't know where I fit in that process other than gathering the information. I love doing missions work. I just came back from Ecuador with the ESCOs, I think it is. ESCOs, oh my goodness.
The name
Mike
seems...
Their missions is to the children of Ecuador.
Okay.
So they have the puppets, and we did vacation Bible school, you know, in Spanish. You don't know Spanish. But they had someone native there that works with them that was bilingual, and we were making really silly things out of ourselves, you know, to the joy of the kids. But I, it just, like, pricked my heart because I was sharing with one of the church members, I said, you know, like, I love doing the trips that I do, you know. And I said, but I've come to the realization we have needs locally.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to go to Ecuador or South Africa to find poverty, to find children in need.
Yeah.
It is so hard, though, trying to find the avenues where you can be effective here in the States because of so many other things that are going on.
I'd say ministering in the States is probably the hardest location to minister because we have so many people here that are so self-reliant. You know, they do have a job, they do have an income, they do have a place to live, and so their wants are being met by their own means. A lot of the other countries don't have that. And so you see poverty at its purest in that these people have no hope if they don't have hope in a God that loves them. And so they're quick to jump on to, you know, we want more and more and more. The United States is not like that. They almost are like, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. You know, we're the third largest unreached nation. You know, we are a nation where missionaries are coming into from outside. And so, yeah, we have so many needs here. And as much as, you know, local ministries, I love to see the local churches doing some of that local ministry, you know, those weekend trips. People are still looking for something outside of their, you know, their area. And that's why taking these teams on a U.S. trip to another state.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be many states away.
Right, right.
It just needs to be a different location.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've gone to South Dakota to an Indian reservation in Arizona. It seems like the Indian reservations, people are like, oh, my gosh, yes, we want to help.
Right, right, right.
And there is a huge need there because most of them are not government funded, and they're very, very poor. It was 94% unemployment on the last reservation that we were on. And we're going to Minnesota next year, two trips to Minnesota, one to Montana, and then I usually do a local one. I've helped a church in Clear Spring, Maryland that I've done, I've directed a week-long, day-long day camp. So it runs from 8 to 5 every day for a week. And we invite all the community children for camp. So it's not a stayover camp, but it's full with all kinds of activities and sessions and Bible learning and, you know, music and, you know, theme type stuff. So it's very much driven like an overnight camp. We just don't keep them overnight. And that way we can reach kids in our community that don't necessarily come to our church. And I will help churches establish that in their community so they can continue. Yeah, I mean, I come and I help.
The camp itself
generally is up to the church if they want to charge anything. I think the church
amount.
The last time charged $35 for the week.
Oh, okay.
For the whole week. No,
yeah.
You feed them breakfast, lunch, and a snack
too
that day. Mm-hmm. And generally they've got some off-site activities. I usually always take them to the public pool. And then, you know, sometimes if we'll go to putt-putt or go bowling or we go to a local park where we have a picnic and they just play on the playground equipment.
Do you have to make arrangements with those places
just
to make sure because of the number of children?
Depending on how many are in your camp, you know, and plus you've got your transportation concerns, if you're able to get them to those off-site locations. Otherwise, we try to structure something. We do a Water Wars Day where everything's on site, and it's just, you know, we have squirt guns and they're in their bathing suits and they're out there playing throwing sponges and water balloons and oh yeah, they think Water Wars is great. And it's nothing but
in the heat of the summer.
Oh my, they do love that. So you know, I've helped churches set up that so that they can reach their community that way. But yeah, I mean, you're in a more metropolitan area that you should have access to those local outreaches. And those are really good starter outreaches.
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking, you know, since I know one time they actually went to Arizona, but that was several years ago, different, you know, youth leaders and different group of kids. And I know just from talking with some of the parents that they've actually started doing things with other churches that have activities that get their kids involved in soup kitchens and things like that. And so, you know, you'd hate to lose, because usually once they start, then they develop attachments, and the next thing they know, they're gone. My issue is more that if there is an opportunity for us to be involved, you know, just how do we get started? How do we do this? And this is one of the things that I'd have to go back with Pastor and say, okay, you know, if we do something like this, then I need to be able to, or whoever's going to be doing this needs to be able to coordinate with the ministry heads for these, because we this is just a little new one that has formed, you know, another new ministry called Missions, because it wants to do more missions stuff. I do missions, but it was not really part of the church, although we're doing the Dominican Republic, I think. And I do, I go with Gerald. I've been going with him for the last couple of years. And in the last 2 years, I've been going with the Potomac Women's Ministry, which is how I ended up in Ecuador. But those were just things that God had put on my heart because it was a, you know, desire of mine. But when they brought the children in the mix, I'm not really in children's ministry.
Yeah.
I'm in children's ministry. And so, you know, like, that's why I had to ask, and I said, I know I'm supposed to know what these things are, but when you don't deal with it, you know, so I like the information. I would like to, if I could, take these, because I know it's almost time, and talk with Pastor Paul to see if they have these, because ideally, I mean, we've been to some of these places, we actually have some hands-on.
Oh, that's it, and bringing your own pictures,
you know,
and...
I have a mini service that we had in Spanish in Ecuador.
Oh,
you know,
see, things like that to be able to introduce to the youth or the teens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and oftentimes teens go on a trip that they're ministering to children.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, making, you know, having these kids, these teens, even involved in the puppets and the music and whatever aspect, because
holding
that's what,
up there,
that's it.
I said, oh my God, how do you do this for a long period of time? But the kids wouldn't.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, getting people involved in missions is not as difficult, I think, as what you're envisioning.
Yes.
I think what you do need to have is a, you know, a team of people that will make this missions, this new missions ministry fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in doing that, you, of course, need to have a leader,
yeah.
You know, because if you bring in four leaders
mm-hmm.
from four different ministries, you've got four leaders,
yeah.
That's not going to work.
Right.
So you need to have that one person that heads up, you know, that ministry, whether it's you or who you're working with. But then to pull together those key people from girls' ministries, Royal Rangers, youth, children, and then, you know, your adults,
mm-hmm.
and then pull them all together and say, okay, what are you currently doing with your missions emphasis within your ministry? You know,
mm-hmm.
how does it tie in with, what are you currently doing?
Mm-hmm.
So once you figure out what everybody's currently doing, say, okay, how can we now work together to make this more cohesive? You know, maybe it's picking a project that everybody's doing. If you're planning a trip to Ecuador with the adults, then you're teaching the kids about the Ecuador. You're teaching the youth how to minister to kids when they get to Ecuador.
Okay.
You know, so then everybody has their own little area that they can focus on. Plus, if they're raising funds for a building that's being
mm-hmm.
built in Ecuador,
okay.
they're all raising funds for mm-hmm. Ecuador. You found a missionary that you're working with in Ecuador, so you're raising money for them for the Speed Light vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You're also raising money through Royal Rangers with Light for the Lost for an Ecuador to buy evangelistic materials.
Okay,
that's what Light
okay.
for the Lost does.
Okay.
Is it buys material that tells the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're working with the kids through BGMC to raise money for perhaps a targeted project that's approved by BGMC that's going to go to Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not go necessarily to this project,
right,
but it'll go to. But they're focusing on Ecuador. So then everybody is kind of all thinking alike and thinking the same. And then you're getting that missionary to, you know, Skype in during a service from Ecuador,
okay.
You know, to share what's going on there, what preparations they've already made. You know, then you've got, you know, the kids writing letters
wow.
to kids in Ecuador.
Okay.
You know, that one day that, you know, during a service, they sit down and, you know, you've talked to the missionary and they're like, yeah, we've got kids here. And maybe they're sending them, you know, just pictures or, you know, maybe they're putting together a little care package of toys. You know,
peanut butter.
Yeah,
that was a big thing.
Peanut butter. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
but you know, back. But it's still if you're doing a missions emphasis and you want the church to all be kind of involved in it, there needs to be one leader
mm-hmm.
for that group. You can't let everybody, you know, lead. You know, but listen to everybody's input and what they're currently doing, and then how can you put it all together?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great endeavor. And I think it certainly can work with someone that's got the mind behind
mm-hmm.
it and is focusing on that. So, you know, I'd probably check and see, you know, what's the pastor's heart? Where does he feel that, you know, missions emphasis needs to lie? If it's somewhere in D.C. or outside of D.C. in Capitol Heights, then, okay, let's start by making that our project. Maybe the food shelter needs some, you know, repair work done.
Okay.
Maybe it needs more shelving. Maybe it, you know, maybe there's a building project that the adults can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, most homeless shelters, or there's a lot of homeless shelters that have shelters for children and family, or mothers and kids. And then there's the men's shelter, the women's shelter. So then maybe you have the girls' ministries going to the women's shelter. You have Royal Rangers going into the men's shelter.
Oh, okay.
You know, you have youth, you know, helping with wherever.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, those local ones, I think you can make them all cohesive as well. If you find one project that your pastor's like, this is where we need to pour our effort into.
I know the one of the ones that we had mentioned to him was Gerald, because he knows Gerald, and since Gerald had just started doing the West Virginia one, but it's all about, you can't wait until the month before. I mean, those are kinds of things that we need to be planning now. We need to be planning, you know, where and what we are going to be involved in, because there's a whole long process that goes into pulling all that stuff together.
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, I make sure we get ours on the calendar, like, before the end of the year for the next year. Because people are planning their calendars.
Right.
We understand that with churches. And plus, there's a lot of preparation in that. You know, just making all the connections, you know, with the contact where you're going. Mm. And when you're bringing a group of people, you know, that are planning to pack their bags, they need to know what to pack in their bags. They need to know what they're going to be doing when they get there. I mean, there's a lot of planning in that. If you get to a point where you're just like, we want to do a trip, and we just need to know, okay, what do we need to think about? I'll be more than glad to pass along all of my to-dos of things that you should be thinking about as you're planning for a trip.
Because I keep telling my pastor that I like helping people. I'll go get all the information. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'm not one of those people that think like that.
Yeah.
You'll give me a to-do list and say, okay, I'll say, all right, let's do so-and-so. We need to get everybody together. We need to do so-and-so and so-and-so. But if we don't have the support of the pastor, it's kind of like...
Wayne has stuff for you for kids in ministry. He said.